Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Does something good come of everything? No. No, somebody does something evil, hates God, say, harms an innocent person, even a child, gets killed, goes to hell. Nothing good comes of that, but something good comes of many things that are intended for evil. That happens because of either God's intervention or the evildoers aren't smart enough to figure out how to pull off their wickedness. But so the Occupy Wall Street protest, something good has come from them. There are now, well, go capitalism, there are 1,200 products on eBay that you can purchase with the Occupy Wall Street logo. So there's something good there, right? And it was Dan Gaynor of the Media Research Center who wondered how this helps the economy and do these count as jobs saved or created under the Obama administration? Are they jobs saved or created? I'm not quite sure, but the protest itself is mostly people who are angry and envious of other people. And of course, these are things that the scriptures teach us about. Envy, when you envy, when you wish that you had something someone else has, and if given the opportunity, you would take it, that's a sin. That's a sin. Stealing is a sin. And envy is the desire to steal. Envy is the desire to steal. Just as murder is a sin. And Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother without cause, then it's as the sin of murder. Adultery is a sin. And if you lust after someone, then that is as the sin of adultery. So envy, and of course, social politics, left-wing politics, socialism, communism, Republican Party politics, well, partly, Democratic Party politics, even more so, it's based on class envy. And so these are angry people who have elevated their envy, their sin, to something they're proud of and they're willing to march in the streets over, and they are thieves. They're thieves. And what these thieves would like to do, they don't want to get their own hands dirty directly, only the finger they use to push the voting lever. They would like the police to steal for them. You see, they want a police state where the government uses force to take money from their neighbors and give it to them. That's what the beautiful people in the world, that's what a lot of them are all about. Now, many of these same people have been enraged over the last few weeks because one bank raised its fee for using its ATMs. What is it, $5 a month? $5. Now, you know what we've said on this show for 20 years? To be a liberal, you have to believe that taxes are too low and ATM fees are too high. To be a liberal, you have to believe that taxes are too low and ATM fees are too high. So what does the average family in America pay in taxes, and what are they on the hook for our national debt? Tens of thousands of dollars are owed by every person in America to our national debt. Eventually, somehow, that's collected in taxes. The government spends about half of our GNP, our gross national product. The government spends in federal, state, and local spending about half. That means, regardless of how it's hidden, the effective tax rate is about 50%. So a family of four that's making, say, $48,000 a year, that family is paying tens of thousands of dollars in taxes one way or another. And a lot of it's hidden, right? Corporate tax, utility tax, sales tax, property tax, sin tax. So that family, if they're liberals, they will be rooting for the Democrats, often with the help of Republicans at some level, unless it's during a campaign cycle, to raise taxes, but they will be so angry they could spit nails that there's a $5 a month ATM fee. That makes sense from the perspective of someone who is so angry at God and so rebellious against truth and reality that they can no longer see straight. So they're simply emoting their hatred of what is true and what is right. So liberals would have us, including George W. Bush, because he's done this, right? We've spent, what, $1 trillion on his. I like to point out, because a lot of my audience, we're conservative Christian, and we're certainly not registered Democrats. I mean, I think that's cause for being excommunicated from a church. So we tend to identify, self-identify with Republicans. But George W. Bush gave us a socialist government health reform prescription drug program so that young families who are really struggling badly, far more so than typical senior citizens, those young families have an even greater financial burden on their back, so Bush and the Republicans could get more votes from members of the AARP. And what, has he put us in debt another $1 trillion or so just because of Bush? When we point out this kind of hypocrisy, how important it is to look at our house first, right? Does Jesus want us to correct others and not look at ourselves? That would be absurd. That's exactly what he said don't do. And so what the beautiful people want is they want plunder, legalized plunder, right? Use the police, the power of the police, use force to take money from others so I can get it, so you can give it to me. And whatever kinds of government benefits I'd like, Cheryl and I, we struggle with, let's say, health care. We got a lot of boys. Boys get hurt a lot. They play hockey. They go to the mountains. They climb trees. And they get hurt. And it's expensive. And so for us to afford health insurance, we have a deductible. I think it's $5,000 per person per year. That's our deductible. How's that? And it costs a fortune. It costs a fortune with that kind of deductible. And so, oh, the government is going to subsidize our health care? They're going to pay 90% of our health care, maybe? Maybe Obamacare? Maybe we got a small business here. Maybe we could just glom on and have our neighbors pay our health care. Wouldn't that be great, honey? Hey, honey, wouldn't you like that if we didn't have to pay our health insurance premiums anymore? Cheryl's thrilled. What would we do with all the extra money? And so to advocate that would be to advocate stealing. It's envy. It's wrong. And if the government does it, it's just as wrong if you get the government to steal for you. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to get a check from the government for even unemployment insurance or Social Security, or even Medicaid and Medicare. We are all paying into these corrupt systems, fundamentally immoral systems, and it's not wrong then to be beneficiaries of them. It's not. But it is wrong to advocate those systems. It is wrong to advocate that the government step out of the bounds that God gave it and usurp power and then take money from people so they can set up benefits so that they will be voted back into office as individuals in their party. I remember Del Tackett brought this up on the Truth Project. If you've never seen Focus on the Family's Truth Project, it's really tremendous. We did it at our church, Denver Bible Church. I think we took 4 months going through it. A great great DVD series on a Christian worldview. And at one point, he was asking the class, he's in front of an actual class, and he's asking them, is it possible for the government to steal? And the class, maybe they had a hard time understanding the question because they were thinking, well, if the government says they can take 80% of your income in taxes, then it's not stealing. So I think, if I recall, I think the class was saying, no, the government cannot steal. And he said, no. Is it possible? Is it possible for the government to steal? And they're like, no, they can't because they just pass a law. And then here in this country, the top tax rate back in the, what was it, the early 60s was 90%. 90%. So you're making a lot of money compared to who? In whose opinion? Well, in somebody's opinion, you're making a lot of money, and so the government takes 90%. Now, that's stealing. That's plunder. It's called legalized plunder. It's not legal in God's eyes, but in man's eyes, in our government, it's called legalized plunder. And so Del Tackett, maybe he could have reworded the question and say, is it possible for the government to be guilty of stealing? Because they might pass a law saying they could kill Jews or they could charge taxes on the importation of slaves, as in our U.S. Constitution. Right? People argue about the three-fifths rule. Well, how about charging taxes on importing slaves? We can argue that. Or maybe if there's trafficking in human beings and trafficking in children for sex, and we can say, well, we're going to charge sales tax on the sale of a child because, you know, taxes will get less of that kind of behavior if we tax it. So we're going to tax it. So that would be corrupt, immoral, perverse. But there are a lot of people who think if the government says that you can kill Jews, well, then it must be legal to kill Jews. And in an earthly perspective, in a very human way of looking at it, and the Bible says this, the Bible at times will say, well, humanly speaking, here's how it is, humanly, but then you get a better perspective, a more broad look, and then you realize, hey, that's evil. It doesn't matter that they decriminalized it. It doesn't matter that they say it's legal. It's stealing. So to God, not only to most people, but to God, when the government takes 90% of somebody's income, God sees the government as guilty of stealing, and then everyone who advocates that the government does that, they're all guilty of stealing. They're all guilty. So we're violating the Lord's command to us to not envy and don't lust and don't covet. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. So that's liberalism, and it's tragic that so many Christians buy into all that. I've got a friend who had a high school fellow student post on Facebook that, go protesters, the protesters are fighting for us. And he knew that this person is sort of Christian, a bit Christian. I mean, I don't know how you could be a bit Christian, but grew up in a Christian context and said, do you realize that these protesters will destroy everything that you value and hold dear? Well, one thing that this person was, not only grown up in a Christian church, but it was a member of the military. I mean, you think Occupy Wall Street, they'd really be strong on defense, right? Yeah. And so my friend was unfriended on Facebook just for that simple comment. The beautiful people who are tolerant and believe in free speech and diversity, and they'll use the police to steal for them, and they're guilty. It's guilty. It's wrong. So not only is it wrong, but it hurts the people who receive the proceeds of the theft more than it hurts the people who were robbed. So if you look at the burden of welfare in this country over the last 50 years, who has been injured more? And let's look for one moment at a racial divide of whites and blacks in America. Now, blacks have a much higher percentage of their population on welfare, And there's a reason for that. It's because whites would have the same percentage on welfare if welfare gave you a higher standard of living, because it was what each group was accustomed to. So if you could not work and have a standard of living of, let's say, $60,000 a year, I venture to guess that another 20 million white families would go on welfare if you could have a standard of living of $60,000 a year. When we look at welfare and its net effect on whites and blacks in America, who has it harmed more? Who has been hurt more? And as the transfer of funds have flowed from the wealthier to the poorer, those who are poor have been hurt far more by welfare than those who were paying the welfare. Those receiving the welfare checks get hurt way worse than those that are being taxed for them. The same thing is true with Africa. Africa had emerging nations. You go back 60, 70, 80 years ago, and the standard of living in the African countries, on average, was increasing significantly annually. And then Africa became the target, not of nuclear weapons, not of invading armies, but of misguided compassion. The tragedy of misguided compassion. And Africa then received trillions of dollars in foreign aid from socialist-minded governments, primarily the United States and Europe. And it utterly destroyed the determination of millions of people in Africa to better themselves. It destroyed it. And that's what welfare does. You know, when you make money to pay bills, right? And you make money to have a better life so that you and your family could be blessed in many ways. And it's not as though every $100 you get in a month has the same value to you. The first $100 you get are way more valuable than the later $100 you get, because you use the first money you get to deal with your most significant needs. And at some point, even if you could work another 20 hours in a month, you knock off of work and you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to relax. I'm going to be with my kids. I'm going to take the dog to the park. Because you've covered your primary needs. So even though you could continue to make money at the same rate per hour, or even at a greater rate per hour, you stop working at some point, because at that point, that money, that same $100, is not worth as much to you as the first $100 you made in the month. And so when you take families and the government gives them the equivalent of, let's say, $1,500 a month in food stamps and housing and healthcare and education and on, then what the government has done is rob them of their overwhelming primary motivation to improve their own lives. It's robbed them. It's not much different than taking heroin and giving it to a teenager when you tell a young girl, if you get pregnant, you have one, two, or three kids, the government will start giving you a few $1,000s a month, and you won't need a husband, they won't need a father, because it's easier to live with a check than it is to live with a man. And so the Occupy Wall Street crowd, they have learned nothing from the grotesque failure of trillions of dollars of money transfers from the wealthier to the poor all over the world that has harmed the poor far more than it's harmed the rich. And they won't learn. And when you point it out to them, they don't care. Because what motivates them is not a love for the poor. It's a hatred for God and a rebellion against his absolute commands, including thou shalt not steal. And they say, oh, yeah, just watch me. And God says, thou shalt not murder. And they say, oh, yeah, just watch me. And so to be a liberal, not only do you have to think that taxes are too low and ATM fees are too high, But you have to think that if a rapist impregnates his victim, to be a liberal, you have to think that we should kill the baby but protect the rapist. Now, to be a Bible-believing Christian, you would conclude that we love and protect the baby and execute the rapist. But to be a liberal, you will kill the baby and love and protect the rapist. And I say love because if anybody's mean to him, you're going to protect him. In jail, you're going to keep him cool in the summer and warm in winter, and he'll be fed and clothed and educated and medicated and legally represented and have access to cable TV and ping pong and foosball and softball and all of it. All y'all ball. That's to be a liberal. So liberal politicians, including many Republicans, they hate good economists. You know, you can't pass a law to make everyone wealthy or happy. Could you pass a law to make everybody happy? You know, that's one thing. I'm not a huge fan of putting happiness in our bills of rights and our constitutions. And if I recall, Colorado's constitution goes even way too far. In fact, I'm going to look that up real quick. Colorado's Bill of Rights. Now, Bob and Your Live airs out of Colorado. If you're listening on the radio, if somebody sent you a link to kgov.com, we have been airing in Denver for 20 years, 5 days a week. And this is a news talk show from a biblical Christian perspective. So our Bill of Rights in Colorado, Article 2, Bill of Rights, Section 3, says that all persons have the right to seek and obtain their happiness. Now, I personally don't get that right. I don't get a right to obtain happiness. Now, rights are something that can be enforced. You could use force to uphold rights. So you have a right to life, and you have a right to private property. How do we know these things? You have a right to due process. How do we know these things? Because God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. So if you're accused of a crime, you have a right to due process and for the judge to try to determine the truth of the matter by the testimony of two or three witnesses, eyewitnesses or physical evidence and so on. And we know that you have a right to own property because God said, thou shalt not steal. And you have a right to life because God said, thou shalt not murder. And so if somebody comes and they're going to break into your home and start tearing up the place, you have the right to use force to stop them. That's your right. And rights can be enforced. And if somebody tries to kill you, then you have the right to use force to stop them, self-defense. So if you have the right to obtain happiness, how is that right enforced, the right to obtain happiness? Now, I know a lot of people who are really miserable. So let's say they decide one day they want to get an attorney and they want to sue somebody, maybe the government, because they have not obtained happiness, and they have a constitutional right to obtain happiness. Who are you going to use force against? Who's stopping them? And they say, you know what? These liberals down here at Occupy Wall Street, they are preventing me from being happy. Get out your batons. They're all in favor of a police state using force to bring about their view of happiness. So come on, let's get the cops down there. Let's start shooting people because I'm not happy. So I think that it's pablum. You know, much that is codified within a Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution and in Colorado's Constitution is so important, so fundamental, so vital. But it doesn't mean that when men set themselves to writing constitutions that they don't get carried away with how benevolent they are. So you not only have a right in Colorado to seek happiness. It says that in our Constitution. You have a right to seek happiness, and you have a right to obtain happiness. And I'm going down to the Capitol right after this show because I want more happiness. You can't just pass such a law. Now, the leader in Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, he said that the Occupy Wall Street deal is a crisis that will topple America. That's interesting to me. They just had their top military foreign intervention group try to hire someone from a Mexican drug cartel to assassinate the Saudi Arabian ambassador to America in Washington, D.C. So somebody's got a crisis. I don't know if it's us regarding Occupy Wall Street. I'd say it's Ahmadinejad and Khamenei. Obama has said that we're going to hold Iran responsible at the highest levels of government. And I guess that means that we're going to institute sanctions against selling gilded Korans to Iran, to Tehran. I don't know what our sanctions have accomplished so far. For Iran to get a nuclear weapon, of course, they'd be willing to use it, very likely, on us or our allies, directly or through a terrorist organization. You know, and this would be the first time any nation has started production of nuclear weapons while being a signatory to the world's non-proliferation treaty. This would be the first time, I think. When did a nation ever, when were they ever a signatory to the non-proliferation treaty and they started producing nuclear weapons? I mean, that'd be a first. And the reason the world would be justified in preventing them is because of their criminal attitude toward Israel, wanting to wipe Israel off the map. Just like Hamas at the UN said, we're against a two-state solution, now recognize us as a state. And membership in the UN, you had to acknowledge your neighbor's borders. So it's interesting to look at world events from a biblical Christian perspective. It's so helpful.